Okay, great. Yeah, I heard a dog bark. I said, clearly we haven't started the recording yet. Okay, good. Thanks. All right, Lynn, we're going to talk about part two of this extraordinary book, which is High Performance Habits by who? None other than Brendon Burchard. And I want to start today with two things about this book and this guy. First of all, I was at a conference this weekend, and the woman who was leading the conference is Marissa Murgatroyd. And she is a phenomenal woman, great story about, you know, from rags to riches. She started her company 8 years ago, and last year she busted through, did she say 12 million in sales in 8 years. And it's all about, you know, how do you do business, you know, how do you take your business and grow it and launch it to accelerate the growth in the business and working on you, business approaches. I mean, she's just really brilliant in her way of business approaches. And when she was on stage this weekend, I'd never met her before. I really can honestly tell you, until I saw the conference, I'd never really heard of her. And it's not related to network marketing by any means, but there were some network marketers in the audience. But the intriguing thing about Marissa is when she was describing her background and how she, you know, she was driven by her dad, and then she just said, I'm rejecting everything my dad wanted me to be, because he was trying to push her into being an analyst, and she didn't want to do any of that because that's all he knew. And so she went off on her own tangent. She was like living with a guy for a year. She was doing all sorts of different things in her life, and she was doing silly jobs, and then she got a job being like working for a 501c3 in her 30s, and she just said, she says, none of this is filling my soul, and she just decided enough. And so she went on this growth spurt of just trying to understand. And you know who her number one mentor was? She went into mentorship under none other than Brendon Burchard. And I was like, wow, you know. So who knew that was going to happen, right? And he was a major, major influence on her life that took her from having nothing at 32, 33, 34 years old to now in her mid-40s being a multi-millionaire. And so pretty phenomenal story on her track. Wonderful person. I mean, I really enjoyed her. You know, there was like, you didn't see the ego, the classic up there. She wasn't salesy, promotional. She was really just nuts and bolts about how to support you to find your voice and live your life based on what is your voice to be heard. You know, each one of us is so independent and discovering that and all. I mean, it was just a beautiful, beautiful presentation. So anyway, I was excited about the Brendon Burchard. That's why I wanted to tell you about it. The second thing I want you all to know is that I made the recommendation to Al Bala that corporate, the C-suite especially, all take this book and study it together. And if you even adopted 10% of the habits in this book, we'd be so much better off as a corporate structure. And I actually forwarded that information to some of the board members. So, hello, am I impressed with this book or what? Does that give you some idea of where I am on this book? And so needed in the corporate structure. The discipline, the, you know, win, and developing the habits that are so necessary to run a company in a very strategic way. And so Al actually did. He ordered all the C-suite guys. All are now working with Brendon Burchard's book. So that's exciting. I just wanted you guys to know, and it's not because this isn't coming from any kind of concept of boastful or ego thing. It's just I want you to understand the significance of this material that you're getting. And if you, you know, step into buying the book yourself, I would almost like to do a kind of like a support system to support people accomplishing what's in this book and setting up those, establishing those habits. So if people have interest in that, let me know. I think it'd be a cool thing to do for not just the, you know, senior leadership in the field, the presidentials, but everyone that's on this call, whoever wants to play at this level of just being effective. And it's not about just your Manatech business. It's about how you operate in life, right? How you do one thing is how you do everything. All right, so that's enough on all that. So let's get into Brenda's book, because you have a 7-page outline I have to get through in the next 35 minutes, which is impossible. All right, so this is part two. Okay, it's a three-part series, and I thought I was going to only do it in three. I was going to do it in three, then I thought two, and now I went back to three, because there's still more to the book, and I want to make sure I get into the rest of the book. The last section is beware of three traps. So I want to do the beware of three traps. So anyway, so this is like part two is social habits, right? Social habits is what part two is. So it's about really looking at us. Is about a new sense of vital energy and confidence from knowing where to focus your energies and how to serve most effectively. It's all about habits. So you want to leverage those same habits no matter what your background, personality, weakness, or field of endeavor is. The gap that exists between our ordinary lives and our extraordinary lives we wish to have is those same habits. The gap we suffer from ordinary to extraordinary. So, but, you know, our past, we can look at it and say, you know, we used to just work hard, play by the rules, keep our head down, but now work is unpredictable and expectations no longer are fixed. Also, everything is now connected. Technology has changed everything in this world. So the concept is you will never figure anything out. We're in a process of just keep adapting, because tomorrow everything changes again. And some of us post age 50, the baby boomer generation, some are going, I'm just not going to keep doing it. But then you're just walking away. The idea is, how do you best keep on top of things that are happening? You don't have to be the big internet guru or the social media guru or all these things. You just need to know how to play at that level. So let's talk about, habit four under this series, which is social habits, is increase. So what's the difference between this one? The first one was about personal habits. This one is about social, which means just how we interact with other people, right? We want to increase productivity. And, you know, he talks about people talking about work-life balance. And he says, you know, you really want to set aside any preconceived notions of that. And he kicked off with a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote, "The day is always his who works with serenity and great aims. Sometimes being effective isn't enough, because achievement can be hollow if it gets out of sync with who you are, what you really want to be doing, or what you're actually capable of." So we might achieve something, but if it's out of sync, so we don't want to be incompatible with who we are or what our talents are, what we're capable of doing. High performers have a deliberate approach in planning their days, so everything is planned, right? And it's kind of like I look at my outline today. I have a whole day planned out, and I have fed into that what I'm going to be doing in my gap times and where my three-way calls are, where my coaching calls are. All those things are planned there, my talks, all that's planned in it. And so that's how I live my life, because planners, you have to be deliberate in your approach. You all know that, because you know in your Manatech business, if you start off your day and you don't have anything planned, highly unlikely you're going to accomplish anything. Highly unlikely. You just robbed yourself probably of 75% of your productivity for the day, because nothing planned. Do we have that freedom in network marketing? Absolutely. But when you take advantage of it, the problem is that you never get where you want to go. So we can't point our finger and blame it at anyone else except look in a mirror, right? High performers, what? They plan. They schedule themselves, right? And you want to stay focused, set good priorities, and focus on what's most important. Productivity basics are setting goals. This is a start and a must. Goals cause you to be more focused and engaged, and that's why we do goal setting. Every end of the year, we do the goal setting exercises. You ought to have your goals. Now we're working on, what, three-month quarters. We're doing the 12-week program. So, I mean, some of you may not be doing that. That's what I taught at the end of the year to develop for you, because it's easier to do bite-size goals, so you don't have to have these huge, large, you know, spooky goals that you're afraid of. You do bite-size goals. So you want to set those. But goals are absolutely a must. You can have weekly goals, you can have daily goals, you can have monthly goals, you can have 12-week goals, and you can have annual goals. But you don't want to goal yourself to death either, right? You want to stay, what is the simplistic process for you that makes you most effective? Good energy. Maintaining good energy is another crucial factor in this. And he says, good sleep, nutrition, exercise are huge enhancers of our productivity. And that's why, you know, even at my conference out in California this weekend, with this state of emergency out there, I was in the gym at my hotel every morning. 6 o'clock, I woke up, I was in the gym by 6:30. Every single morning. Every single morning. It's a discipline that serves me to be alert, it serves me to be healthy, it serves, right? And it serves me to maintain great energy. So good sleep, I don't never have a problem with that, but some of you do, so take our sleep product. Nutrition, if you have problems with that, just go out there and start doing it, because it's nothing to do with lack of knowledge, it's everything to do with lack of discipline, mindset problems. So eat healthy and exercise. We all know that's critical. And he even says that this brings more, you know, maintaining positive emotions to happy people are more productive people as we, Lydia might have corrected, as well as studies that show that they produce higher quality of work, more dependable, and greater creativity. Another one, study that was out there showed that just watching a comedy clip before you start serious work brings greater productivity. So joyfulness creates greater productivity. So some of you may need to put a comedy routine in the middle of your day to allow you to have greater. Why? It's because comedy brings joyfulness, lightheartedness, and happiness, joy. When you're mad, at Manatech or mad at your Manatech business or mad, tell me, are you productive? No. Because you have all the excuse in the world not to do it. So it's about maintaining great energy, which requires us emotionally to be positive, happy. Number three is focus. Never forget the book Power of Focus. That's by Jack Canfield, Mark, Victor Hansen, and Les Hewitt. I love the book, and it's absolutely critical. Yeah, we have information overload today. Even more important to focus on focus.
Mary Jo, we did a class on that book years ago.
Did we do a class on that book? Yeah, great. A whole class just on that book, because Power of Focus is so critical. And we get into analysis paralysis. You want to break that habit. He says, never check your emails in the morning. How many of you do that? And here's the reason why. Because when we check our emails in the morning, we have 45 emails. We get into overwhelm and reactivity, which are the emotions you want to set, are not the emotions you want to set for your day. Distraction reduces productivity over 20%. That's what studies show. So quit being distracted. Work-life balance, many say it's impossible. It's not. It's totally possible. Don't think about it in terms of hours. You just be intentional about it. If you're not doing the kind of work that is engaging and meaningful, you will always be out of balance. Always be out of balance. So you want to be making sure that you're doing something engaging and meaningful to you. I love Manatech for that reason, because I love to help people. I have a passion. And there's so many ways we can help people with health, with just vitality, energy. We can help them with financial. I mean, there's so many aspects of Manatech, being a part of a community, changing the world through M5M. You have so many things to offer with Manatech. So let's be productive, right? So he says that every ideal to take breaks, real breaks, not checking email breaks. In other words, when you take a break, don't show up at your email bank. Don't get on your phone and see 25 text messages, right? In fact, Lydia laughs at me. She goes, Mary Jo, you have 212 unlistened to text messages. And I go, it's pretty crazy, right? But, you know, I can't answer everything. My productivity level is crucial to me on all the things I'm doing, so I handle that. And when I have time, whether it's at nighttime, I'll just start blipping through them. But the idea is we allow, in fact, Lydia, what did you say? You have a notification system on your phone. She used to, so it'd pop up every time somebody texted her or called her or something, it'd pop up as notification. She said her productivity has grown immensely because we had a conversation about that. I was over at her desk one day a couple of months ago, and I said, stop it. You can either go find another job or stop this, because it's irritating to me and it can't be productive for you. So I already knew that. I know that distractions cause. So she stopped, and she said her productivity has really grown because of just getting rid of notifications. You want to feel important. It's your ego that wants all that garbage coming on your phone. Look at what it really is. So huge. So ideal is take a break every 45 to 60 minutes. So take a 5 or 10 minute break. Go out and just do jumping jacks, go pet the cat, you know, fresh air, walk around the block, whatever it is. And he says, instrumental in you increasing your productivity. Increase the outputs that matter. That's D in your outline. Nothing is less productive than to make more efficient what should not be done at all. That's a great one. You got to start evaluating. Why am I making something more efficient when it's not worth my time in the first place? Very good. You got to start deleting worthless tasks. Worthless tasks. Now, some of you go, but Mary Jo, I love to do artwork. I go, great, then do it on your spare time. Don't do it when you're scheduling work. Schedule your day. And don't cop out. That's one of the problems with entrepreneurs. They have, you know, oh, I love my freedom. Yeah, your freedom is destroying your business because you're not disciplined. High performance have mastered out of prolific quality output. Prolific quality output. Wow. Wow. PQO. So prolific quality output, right? That's pretty cool. Emails building complex folders reduces output as it steals precious time. Just use search or threading. In other words, don't spend endless hours trying to, you know, build complex folders in your email bank. You can just search anything, right? Or use threading to get access to it. What is PQO for us networkers? Well, our prolific quality output is what? The four key activities that we know of, you know? What is it? Contact, invite, present, and close. Those are critical key activities for us. And then the fifth one, I would say, is what you do afterwards, how you bring somebody along. The training of new associates and leadership in how to do management and in leadership is all probably your fifth key, right? Because you got to teach them and train them up, build them up. So where's your PQO is, that's wherever your PQO is, think about it, those five activities, four core plus, training, teaching, leadership, those are the five areas where breakthroughs and wealth abound. He said we should be spending at least 60% of our time on PQOs. And if you love what you're creating or contributing to this work, you'll experience less procrastination as well. Chart your five moves. 60% of time is dedicated to these. Inevitable distraction comes from unfocused efforts. There are only five moves that would make a goal happen. What would they be? For us, again, it gets down to four core and then the leadership development. Alternative is where you can get sucked into a life of reaction and distraction. Start evaluating your life. Where are you today? Evaluated your day today. Take a whole week of your life and evaluate where you are. Are you in reaction and distraction? Or are you putting the majority of your time in those five key activities? Get insanely good at the core skills, right? We want to just, that's why we teach four core a lot. We did that every single Saturday training we did before, blah, blah, blah. All those trainings are on system.manatech.com, so you could go there and be trained on them. You can use those materials to train other people on them over and over and over again. You can go back to some of the posted videos from our past, you know, Saturday morning trainings and just clip out ones that you like. Take four sections that you like. Divide them out and start using them with your people. So you don't have to be the master trainer. You have trainings already there that you can dissect in place. And I do they have those on probably as well on Manatech Plus? Four core. Do they teach it? No. Okay, good. So those are suggestions. I just made another great suggestion to get that up and running. So we have that on our Manatech Plus app as well. We want trainings. So again, it takes the burden off you that you have to train it all the time. That was the whole purpose why we built the system.manatech site in the first place, is to allow you to have a place to go where you can get your people trained without you feeling like you had to be an expert. And I love the Picasso quote, only put off until tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. Think about that. I want you to post that quote somewhere on your desk. So every time you say, oh, I'm going to put it off till tomorrow, think, oh, yeah, I'm willing to have to die, allowing that to be undone. Really? Procrastination will kill you. Habit number five. Okay, so that's habit number four, right? It's about increasing your productivity. All great tips, all awesome to help you shift. In fact, I'm starting to do worksheets and develop all this in my daily activity. Trust me, people, I love this material. It's super. It's discipline, it's structure, and it creates results, most importantly. Habit number 5, develop influence. Well, why do you and I want to develop influence? Do you want to be an influencer or not? If you're in network marketing and you don't want to be an influencer, you're in the wrong place. Because the way we grow our business is by influencing people to take their health seriously, to go after and provide themselves with a basic core level of income that can help support them as they go through these years where their Social Security is dissipated and where all these things that are happening to us. I mean, it's crazy what's going on in our world. There's anyone who thinks they can live off of Social Security today is really confused. I mean, it gives you a little buffer, but it's not going to give you any kind of lifestyle, and you're not going to be able to survive. You might find a one-bedroom rent a room somewhere and pay $800 a month there. There's half of your Social Security because the average Social Security payment is $1,452 or something. And then you have $700, $600 left for all your expenses. Oh, can't have a car because you can't afford car insurance or gas. Or new tires. Yeah, so you have to take buses or to use other ways of getting around in your life. Is that a happy retirement? Telling you people, the money that you can get out of Manifest just by, building a simple team four, and then helping your four get to team four is going to make a huge difference. It like doubles your Social Security payment. Woo! Simple to do, but also simple not to do, right? So the idea here is that you want to make sure that you're looking at the reality of where you're going to be, and you want to be an influencer, right? You want to be an influencer to help people, and those are great ways to help influence. Power is of two kinds. One is obtained by the fear of punishment, and the other by acts of love. There's another great quote for you to put up somewhere. I always look at myself as always acts of love. In fact, the conference I was at this weekend that they had this huge chart. There are 350 people there, right? And they had all of our names up there. And we put stars every time we finished one of the sessions. So, of course, mine were all starred out because guess what? I do all the sessions. I don't take a break and go off for, out to the bar or go out, eat lunch for an extra hour and a half. If I fly out to L.A. at an event, I want to be 100% all in. It's how I play life, all in. But I also love people. And so every time I was sitting next to new people, I would always strike up a conversation, and it always came out, how can I support you? Yeah, I'd always come up with ideas. I wouldn't ask them. I would actually find a way by my communication, right? In fact, I have 12 business cards that I have from this weekend. But I went out there, and there were hearts after my name. These guys went and posted hearts after Mary Jo because I cared. You had an option to do that. If somebody impacted your life, you could push a heart. I don't even know which ones did it, but there were hearts after my name. That was a cool thing. But it's because of an act of love. It's an act of contribution. So you want to build that. So how do we build culture in our organization is also critical. Define what culture you have created, and then define what culture you desire. I want all of you to underline that today and say, what is my culture I've created in my organization? And what is the culture I desire? Are you contributing? Are you doing monthly calls? Are you sending out gifts on their birthday? Are you putting heads up and sending out things like banner mails or something that support them on a quarterly basis? This isn't how many times you're touching your downline. Or do you just call them the last week of every month so that you can get them to order more products? Hello? I mean, the one thing we've always established here is whenever they need me, I'm there. You want me to come out for a weekend to West Texas? That's 5-hour drive out, 5-hour drive back, or $500, $600 fly out, right? Whichever option you want. And spend a day and a half with them. Op meeting, training, whatever they need. Always available by calls, always available for three-way calls, support calls, mana mails. I mean, it's about contribution. However, three-way calls all the time. I did 3 of them last week, I think. It's just, who are you? What is your culture? You need to define that. What is the culture? And you can say to yourself, Mary Jo, I don't have any culture. Great. Well, perfect. Why is it perfect? Because you're starting from fresh and now established. What do you want it to look like? What are you committing as a leader to create in your organization? And I don't care if you have three people in your organization. Build a culture. Be committed. Define it. Describe it. Write it out on your board. It can be something that's 15 words. It could be 10 words. It could be 5 words. Whatever you choose. But live it. Because when you take this road of command and control, it's not very workable. Right? The people in your organization, I love this quote too. The people in your organization, no one's ever stuck. They just lost perspective. Does this make sense? Think about all the people in your organization. How many have lost perspective? They're not stuck. They lost perspective. Why did they lose perspective? Examine the culture. Examine the directional that you're giving. Influence is a primary skill to I have to address this. Some people say, well, Mary Jo, what about the corporate culture, blah, blah, blah? And I go, you are running your own business. This is your business. It is not corporate's business. It's yours. You establish your own culture. Independent. You're an independent associate. Influence is a primary skill to master in order to be effective, right? Because we want to be influential. We want to become influencers. And we want to be able to influence our organizations. And what makes influence actually happen? He says, raising ambition. First, relate to people, then raise their ambition to think better, do better, or give more. That's another great one to put somewhere on your wall. Relate to people, then raise their ambition to think better, do better, or give more. When you do that, you'll be a great influencer. We're not who we say we are. We're not who we want to be. We are the sum of the influence and the impact that we have in our lives on others. Carl Sagan. That's another great quote for you. We're the sum of the influence and impact that we have in our lives on others. Think of your team members as collaborators. Sometimes we treat them like they're underneath us. You collaborate. As you lead, so shall they. So this is prolific in your organization, right? You want to do a challenge and do something great together, you know, but collaborate with them. Just like when I was out in West Texas, I collaborated. What do you want to know? How can I best train you? How can I best support you? What are your top topics? What would you like the opportunity meeting to look like? I didn't go out there and say, this is the way it's going to be because I'm your leader. I collaborated with everybody out there, right? I want to meet them where they perceived needs are, and let's do the best we can to meet those needs. So collaboration is critical. It puts you on an even basis with them, not like you're some top dog, but they'll respect and honor you because you are interested in what they perceive their needs are. Now, that doesn't mean that some of them can perceive their needs and they're a little bit off base to produce the results that they need to be producing. Then you can tinker with it, but it's collaboration is part of that tinkering process. Getting their opinions first is critical, so they know they're a player. They're important. Their voice needs to be heard. So if you have other people that want to win the next incentive, don't ask what they want. Get great at making requests and moving the needle, right? Making requests and moving the needle. The more you ask and share your ideas, the more comfortable people get with your requests and buy into the ideas. So we share, we collaborate, we share ideas, we make requests, we share those ideas, and people will buy into those ideas. The more you do it, the more they'll buy into you. That's called leadership. Never to forget, an influencer, again, this is about influence people. Never to forget to give, and the greatest thing you can give in an organization is trust, autonomy, and decision-making authority. Trust, autonomy, and decision-making authority. Underline those, plaster those up. How am I showing up trusting my organization? How am I showing up being autonomous? Autonomy means what? Some of you, people are running their own businesses. So I honor you're a business person. What are you doing with your business? It's not my business. It's your business. I might be impacted by it because you're in my organization, but it's your business. You're the head of your business. You have your own business. Do we use that language when we talk to our associates? And then obviously their decision-making authority they have. They have the authority to make their own decisions. Be a champion of people. Take the time to think of two people who had incredible influence over your life. All right? You can do this after the call's over. Think of two people who had incredible influence over your life. Answer, what made each person influential in your life? What was it that made them influential? What was the greatest lesson that person taught you in your life? What values or traits did they inspire you to embody in your life? Now you know how you want to influence others. These people shape how we think, challenge us in some way, and serve us as role models. These three practices are critical for all of us to develop to be influencers, right? Shape how people think, challenge us in some way, and serve as role models. How is that for you? I put a little chart in the outline, so you get to see that's right out of the book, The Ultimate Influence Model. You can actually take that, cut it out, plaster it, right? It's great to have that information around so that you can really understand it. It's important for us. And he says, when you want to influence somebody, so you look at it this way. These concepts on the left side of the margin are, when you want to influence somebody, you want to take time. Think of someone that you would think, just think right now, who would you like to influence? Maybe somebody in your organization, some family members, and you want to help shape their thinking because you can see where maybe they're a little awry based on what you know is productive thinking that will help them produce results. So, but you have to identify how you want to influence them before you do this, right? What do you want them to do? Like if you want to influence your organization to go out and share more frequently, I think all of us could probably jump in on that. So you want to then your response to these questions before you meet with that person, know your responses. How do you want them to think about themselves? Think about that. Before you go and talk to your organization about prospecting more, talking to more people, first of all, think about how do you want them to think about themselves? Number two, how do you want them to think about other people? And number three, how do you want them to think about the world at large? This is how you influence them. How do you want them to think about themselves? So if you want them, what, to have confidence in themselves, right? Absolutely, because then they're going to be the best at prospecting. How do you want them to think about other people? You want them to honor people. You want to lift people up. You don't want them to go chase people down and sell, be the classic, door-to-door salesman. No, you want them to honor people. You want them to be inquisitive. You want them to be open to learn from other people, open to hear the other person's story, patient, be great listeners. How do you want them to think about the world at large? You want them to be positive. Think about the endless opportunities in our world today. Because people are attracted to positive people. They don't want to be around negative Nellies. So there are a lot of things you can be negative about today, blah, blah. But guess what? There were 10 years ago, too. And there were 20 years ago, and 50 years ago, and 100 years ago, and 1,000 years ago. It's just a choice we make. You can focus on negative or focus on positive. But you want people to be positive, right? So that's how we, themselves, others, and world, that's what you want to be working with people. So work the ultimate influence model. Influencers shape how we think. How do we want them to think about themselves? This is what we just talked about, how we want to think about people, how they want to think about the world. Influencers challenge people in three realms. They challenge their character, right? We challenge their character. So when some of those challenges might look like when you're challenging character, you might talk to somebody about looking back, do you feel you gave it your all? What are you bringing the best of you to this situation? What values were you trying to embody when you did that, right? You question them on those kind of things. Those are the kind of things make them. And then their connection with others, so their character. You can ask questions like that about character and, to make sure, challenging them to be better than what they are. Right? And number two, the connection with others. So when we talk about challenging them in terms of their connection with others, there are kind of five keys. Do they listen to one another more? Listening skills. Show each other more respect. Support each other more. Spend more time with each other. Give each other more feedback. Notice how the word more seems to be omnipresent when they're challenging others, right? All we're trying to do is lift them up a little higher level. Challenge is about being more of something. it's a great way to work with people too, because you're not telling them that they totally lack in something. You just want to be more of that to be more effective. I like Henry Adams' quote, a teacher affects eternity. And then influencers role model the way, right? They role model the way. That's you. You're the influencer. You're a leader. You role model the way. 71% of high performers say they think of role model every single day. How am I a role model today? How am I, you can post that on your computer. How am I a role model today? So not just about being a good person, but how to act so others might follow. Are we truly conscious about that? Most people don't even think about that kind of thing. How we act so others might follow. We just are freewheeling out there. There's just something magical that happens in our life when we let all the drama go and decide to ask how we can be role models again. Isn't that cool? What happened to the famous role models? Author asks, what if our ability to be truly influential is our ability to be influenced? Wow. So some of us sit back and we're so staunch in our ways, we don't let anything in. We believe we have it all down pat. I'm the exact opposite. I read books every single day. I'm always trying to enhance my knowledge, my understanding. That's why I'm so entrenched in this book and will stay there for probably 6 months to a year. Because I truly, what? Love to be influenced by great thinkers, because there's so many people smarter, more accomplished than I am in this world. And I talk about that from my faith-based and from every aspect of my life. So if I truly want to be influential, I am open for influence from the greater thinkers, right, and greater masters. Okay, so let's talk about the third habit. Habit six is demonstrate courage. Wow, that's a big one. You want to be an influencer. You want to become an extraordinary person. We need to demonstrate courage, and courage is a big item in our industry, right? It's about being able to go out there and do it over again. It's about going out and getting knocked down 9 times and getting up 10, right? It's really about, I'm not allowing somebody else to, whatever they say, it doesn't matter. I'm out here to share, and I'm out here to make a difference in people's lives. If they don't like it, that's fine. All they can do is say no. There are two ways of meeting difficulties. You alter the difficulties, or you alter yourself to meet them, right? Kind of courageous acts that you are proud of at the end of your life are when you faced uncertainty and real risk, where the stakes mattered, when you did something for a cause or person beyond yourself without any assurance of safety, reward, or success. Those are the courageous acts. And you can look back at your life and say, where did I show up in that realm? And that's not a bad thing for you to do today. Just expand on that and think about it. Spend some quiet time. Where did I show up courageous? When I did something for a cause or a person beyond myself without any assurance of safety, reward, or success. Courage can revolutionize your life. And he believes that demonstrating courage is the cornerstone of high performance. These high performers are people that talk about taking action despite fear, much more than other people. And studies show that those most likely to self-report high levels of courage are those that love mastering challenges. They perceive themselves assertive. They perceive themselves as confident. They perceive themselves as high performers, perceive themselves as more successful than other peers, and are happy with their life overall. So evaluate that. Where do you fit in those, what, 5 things? Happiness makes you think you can do incredible things. So come from joy. And if our source of joy is about what's in our head, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Our source of joy should come from our heart. So it overcomes day-to-day things. No one can rob me of my joy. The only person that can rob me of my joy is myself. That's how I live my life. So when I see that my joy is dissipated or I'm angry about something, I just go, Mary Jo, why are you allowing this to happen? You're allowing it. I'm allowing it. Now, are some things in our lives so bad that sometimes they rob us of joy? Absolutely. I had the crisis in my life. Many of you know the story of my brother being shot and killed by his wife. Did that rob me of my joy? Oh, my gosh. I was so angry. I was so mad. I mean, of course, because of my faith, I went right to God, and I just yelled at him for about 3.5 hours. And I just said he made a mistake. He should have taken my sister-in-law and said my brother, rah, 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 rah. But the next day I woke up with a sense of forgiveness that unknown to most mankind. But I could have joy. I could go out there and help with all the funeral arrangements. Yes, tons of tears, but I could be joyful. I just knew immediately I was going to take these two kids cross country and raise them, you know, two teenagers out of their teenage classes. You can't even fathom being taken away from your teenage friends at 14 and 16 years old. But that's what happened. And these kids are so unbelievable today. I have two great nephews. They're both doing awesome in their work, and it's just incredible. Married, great spouses. Tremendous. Both graduated from college. So, but it's idea, right? It's about courage. But happiness makes you think you can do incredible things, and you can. So courage is not fearlessness. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Great quote, Mark Twain. Put that up where you need it as well. And we can look at the different kinds of courage we see, right? We see that there's courage can be looked at like physical courage. When you put yourself in harm's way to meet a noble goal, right? Maybe jumping in an intersection to save someone from being hit by a car. Or fighting for your life when you're sick, overcoming coronavirus, there you go, right? Physical courage. Moral courage is speaking up for other people, enduring hardship for what you believe is right. Hard, sometimes hard to stand up and say this is right, to serve the greater good, stopping somebody who's bullying a stranger maybe. They're selfless acts that protect values or advance principles to the benefit of the common good. Selfless acts that protect values or advance principles to benefit the common good. Psychological courage. Maybe overcoming your own anxieties, your insecurities, your fears. Oh, fears are flooded in our world today. Overcome that to assert your authentic self instead of conforming to this world. Even if the people in the world may not like it. Experiencing personal growth, even if it's only a private victory. Psychological courage. And then everyday courage could mean keeping a positive attitude or taking action despite uncertainty, right? We might have bad health or hardships, but we still, you know what? We're still going to be positive. The important thing is that you define what being more courageous means to you and start living that way. Oop, we're not done with the outline. I'll go 5 more minutes. Taking action despite having fear is not always courage, right? A teenager jumping off a high balcony to gain acceptance among his peers is not what you would define as courage. That's called peer pressure. The outcome matters a great deal. Top performers don't shrink at tough tasks. Don't complain, take action. That's the response of top performance. Don't complain, take action. I can't tell you how many times I have to say that to Manatech associates. Don't complain, take action. Make a difference. Brendan's question is great. If your future best self, a version of you 10 years older, who is even stronger, more capable, and more successful than you imagine yourself to be, showed up on your doorstep today and looked at your current circumstances, what courageous action would that future self advise you to take right away to change your life? How would your future self tell you to live? It's a great exercise, people. You can take that one on this week, too. And then we gave 3 practices, right, that he put in the book. And those become, let's jump through those for this section. And I think we left the 3rd one out. You know, Lynn, I think it got lost at the end, but I'll go over it. The one is honor the struggle. We honor the struggle. So take action. And you want a great life, big dreams. When you are going to need change, take action. The act, one act of courage is worth more than any. vision board, right? Mindset, we're less courageous society because we avoid struggle, right? So that takes away, if you're not conquering struggle, if you're not struggling with things, you're going to lack courage. When we learn to see struggle as a necessary, as a necessity, important and positive part of our journey, then we can find true peace and personal power. That's a very powerful quote, very powerful quote. So you want to look at that. And there are really only two narratives in the human story. There's struggle and there's progress. And I will guarantee you, in order to have progress, there's going to be struggles, right? Trust that things will work out. The second one is share your truth and ambitions is your second practice. Our spirits soar when we feel uncovered by fear or the weight of conformity. When we live our truth, expressing who we really are, how we really feel, what we really desire and dream of, then we are authentic. We are free. This requires courage. So just being real requires courage. Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one will go. A great quote by T.S. Eliot. And Lydia, attached on the back of the outline, you're going to see some quotes there out of the book. Do not dare play small, my friend. Do not feel guilt because you have high aims. Those dreams were seated in your soul for a reason, and it is your duty to honor them. I won't read it all, but you can take that, maybe type it up and post it in your office so you get that. No one wants to be in connection with a fake person, right? That's so true. Courage requires a new degree of openness and honesty about who you are. If you are failing to reach the next level of success, it's mostly due to not asking for help. The most important thing in connecting authentically with others is to share your true desires with them. The most lethal mistake we make is not asking for help. Ultimately, you have to ask yourself, is your life about fear or freedom? And number three, that's not in your outline, I'll add it when I repost the outline, is find someone to fight for. Some of the questions that Brendan came across in his life that made a huge difference was the questions about, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? Did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? So answer those questions about yourself. He looked at himself one time. He was failing miserably. This is his story. He was failing miserably in his business and all what he was doing in his early 20s. And he had a woman who he loved. They were living together. And it really was, she came home one night, and he was gazing around the tiny apartment, and, you know, they've been doing this for a couple of years, and he just was looking around, and he thought to himself, this is not the life I want for us. She deserves better. And at that moment, something snapped inside of Brendan Burchard. And he reexamined his level of performance. And he made the decision that he was going to do whatever it takes. So sometimes it doesn't come from you. It comes from wanting to serve somebody else. Does that make sense? So because sometimes we downplay ourselves. And that's why this third section is about find someone to fight for. We have already sold ourselves out for some reason. But what else? Who in your life could it be about for you? Most often just one person. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's something for your kids or employees, depending if you have a job or what you're doing. But you want to fight. We will do more for others than ourselves. And in doing more for others, we find our reason for courage and our cause for focus and excellence. So that's it, people. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. I'll redo, put that number three on the outline so you have a complete outline. Sorry, it somehow must have gotten left off when we printed it. Sometimes my computer goes a little crazy, but we'll get that done. And hopefully you're enjoying this. I love the material. The book is phenomenal. Like I said, I really plan on doing something bigger with this book because I think it's got such great content. You could focus on, you know, 10 pages at a time for a week as you go through this book to really develop those habits and isolate them and put them in place in your life. What does that start looking like? And by the way, you can actually go to Brendan's, I'm going to do one more class on this next week, the last section. You can go under Brendan's performance test and take his performance test. Is it right? Is that what it is? Performance test for free. You can Google, take your performance assessment for free. Take your performance assessment for free. You just have to Google that, and I challenge you to do that. And then next week on Monday call, as I finish this book, we'll have some shares about how you showed up on your performance test. And remember, it doesn't serve you to be dishonest. Not suggesting you will be, but we like to look at ourselves with a little colored glasses, don't we? It's about being totally honest with ourselves as we go through that. And then we'll share and we'll finish off the book. Okay, everyone, any comments, questions? Did I keep everyone on the phone or did we lose them? Okay. Hello. Is this helpful? Are you feeling some pain?
No pain, no gain.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Martha. Yes, I'm feeling some pain.
It's okay. Pain is good.
Yeah, lots of stuff here to work with. And I like what you said at the beginning of this call about having a support group or something like that to continue working on this. Is that what you were talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'll probably go to Al and figure out how we can do that as a, you know what I mean? I think it's because the material is so excellent, but it's too hard for people to absorb. And even my, you know, Monday morning calls for 3 weeks is just touching upon. It's about exercises we do and looking at ourselves more intimately and finding out what kind of activities we can develop and what are we going to do on a daily basis in our romantic business to build these habits in so that we're really utilizing and maximizing these habits in our life to produce maximum results. And that's what I'd like to do. I think you can take this book and apply it to our business in a way that would really make a tremendous difference for people. So if you're game for that, I'm heading out to corporate today, and I will definitely bring forth that concept.
Do I send you an email or what?
No, I got it. Okay. I'm so into it. Martha, even if you didn't want it, I was going to do it, but I hope and pray that the field will come along because I think it will help anyone who really wants to make a difference in their lives. And it doesn't matter. You can be 25, 45, 65, 85. Change is possible at any stage of life, and it's about just stepping into it in such a true and real way. Yep. Okay, everyone. All right. Love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll finish off this book next Monday. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.